Blog Talk Radio.
Mojuba Asheda, Mojuba Aluwa Mi, Apolabi Pega, Mojuba Araba Mi, Adesanya Awuyade, Mojuba Ogute Compound Ode Remo, Mojuba Baba, Mojuba Yeye, Mojuba Egun, to all the God children, Mojuba Egun, to all the Babalawos, the Ears, Mojuba Egungun, to all the chiefs, Mojuba Egungun, to all the Awos, Mojuba Egungun, to all those that are listening, who are tuned in. We give praise and thanks to the Most High. We say Ashe, 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 Ashe,
Ashe,
O.
Ashe, O. Welcome to Sign of the Times, everyone. This is Queen Tahira. Sign of the Times is brought to you by the UAC, the United African Coalition for Justice and Human Rights, and New Power Radio Network. We began the UAC after the unjust Zimmerman verdict of July 2013, and we ask that you please support our sponsors, Manhood Raising Culture, headed up by Dr. James Jones. You can find him as James Jones on Facebook and on the World Wide Web at manhoodraceculture.com and as a liking group page on Facebook as well. Also support Arlie Gordon of Unity Design. Unity is spelled UNITEE. Find him on Facebook as well as on the World Wide Web at unitydesign.com. And again, Unity is spelled UNITEE. And of course, last but not least, we want to always remember to never forget our beloved brothers and sisters who are behind enemy lines and the family and loved ones and friends that they represent. So please support Unheard Voices, the Free Alabama Movement, and the Free Ohio Movement, respectively, on Facebook as well as on the World Wide Web at freealabamamovement.com and freeohiomovement.org. We also ask that you please go to the WordPress page for Redistribute the Pain, which is a campaign that is being initiated by the Free Alabama Movement to level the playing field, if you will, especially when it comes to our political prisoners. Unfortunately, we've got acts like the Reagan-Tokes Act that is being put forward while we're so busy being distracted by the mainstream media and its propaganda machine that politicians have a tendency to use very well and to their advantage. There are a lot of things that are going on behind the scenes that will directly affect us, whether we participate in social programs or not, whether we get direct assistance from the government or not, whether we are receiving any sort of aid or benefit or privilege from the U.S. Corporation or not. It is going to affect us because it's going to affect the people that are around you. So just by default, things are happening and coming down the pike that we definitely need to be prepared for and prepare not only ourselves but our family, our children, and our community. So the stronger we can get now to get ahead of this thing, the stronger we're going to be when the SHI, you know what, actually hits the fan. So a friend of mine shared a post, and it says it's from the 1991 book, Behold the Pale Horse, and it's called Diversion Summary. It says, media, keep the adult public attention diverted away from the real social issues debated by matters of no real importance. Schools, keep the young public ignorant of real mathematics, real economics, real law, and real history. Entertainment, keep the public entertainment below a sixth grade level. Work, keep the public busy, 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 with no time to think back on the farm with the other animals. And it's by William Cooper. So, I mean, how relevant is this, especially in this date and time, to what we're seeing and seeing manifest itself, especially when it comes to this quote-unquote government? This is exactly what we're bearing witness to. The media is keeping us extremely busy with propaganda that is not benefiting us. The schools are keeping our young people dumbed down and taken out a lot of the artistic and extracurricular activities, even art, in recess, which I thought were a part of the basic educational curriculum, but it depends on, I guess, the school system that you're in. And entertainment, keep the public entertainment below a sixth grade level. And what do we see? We see a lot of rump shaking. We see a lot of repetitive dissertation about a lot of nothing when it comes to hip-hop and popular R&B music. We see the degradation and defamation of especially our women and girls. So entertainment, keep the public entertained below a sixth grade level. Yep, I think it's working. And work, keep the public busy, 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 with no time to think, back on the farm with the other animals. And so this solidifies the fact that this statement solidifies the fact that we are treated like chattel even to this day, no matter what our educational level is, no matter what our economic income level is, no matter what we call ourselves. At the end of the day, the petty bourgeoisie and those that support them and the elite, whatever name you want to call them, Illuminati, Zionist, whatever label you want to give them, their system is working and our system is not. And so how are we going to fix this thing? Or are we going to wallow in it and allow it to continue to cause our detriment and our harm? So it's up to us to decide which way we want to go with this thing. And it's up to us to decide, you know, as the sun rises every morning, we have the opportunity to begin and start anew. So it's up to you what you decide to do with your time and how you decide to use it. But hopefully enough of us are going to continue to come together to where we're able to use our time, whether it be a lot of time or a little bit of time, to the progress of the good of the people. So I'm waiting on my co-host to arrive. In the meantime, we're going to play a quick little ditty. I've been in a Bill Withers kind of mood today, so I'm going to play that, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Sign of the Times Blog Talk Radio, brought to you by New Power Radio Network. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Sign of the Times, everyone. This is Queen Tahira. Welcome, Dr. Jones. How are you doing this evening?
I'm good, Queen. I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm okay. Pretty fair for a square.
All righty.
So happy Kwanzaa.
Well, happy Kwanzaa to you as well. I'm sitting here with, I'm using my break time to actually go back and read some things that I read years ago. And, I picked up Ernest Gaines' book, A Lesson Before Dying. I finished that earlier this week. And then I just reached on my bookshelf and grabbed another book off. And I pulled off Black Labor, White Wealth, Claude Anderson's book. And I'll be honest with you, after maybe I shouldn't have read that book again, because it has put me in a very dire position about our people and about how we know, and Claude Anderson's done it, Garvey did it, Du Bois has done it. Laid out what are reasonable, executable plans for our people to get out of the situation that we're in. And we've not adhered to any of it. We're still out here trying to play what is obviously a collective game of block power as individuals, thinking that we're going to be able to win that way. And so, I'll be honest, it's put me in a very bad mood right about now, a really bad mood.
Yeah, I feel you. I feel your pain. And a friend of mine told me years ago, he better give up on them niggas. Them niggas going to be and do whatever it is that they say that they going to do. And no matter what you try to do, what you try to teach, what you try to initiate, niggas are going to be niggas. And like, come on, you can't possibly feel as though our people are completely at the stage of hopelessness. And he said, no, not at all. But certain people are going to always be kind of stuck where they are. No matter what, and those are the ones that are the energy suckers and the vultures that keep us from, achieving what we could if we were working more collectively. So I've just decided to move forward with those who are like-minded enough to be able to progress and, pretty much not worry about the rest. What do you think?
I hear that, and I really, 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 I really understand that, and there's a part of me that long ago decided to do that, to only deal with people who are of a conscious mind. I'm not even looking for people who are walking in lockstep with me in regards to ideology. The one thing I do ask for is that we agree upon what the ultimate goal or destination is, that it's the liberation and salvation of the Black nation. However, I've had to sort of close that circle a little bit more, and really begin to question, should I even be having even a conversation with certain types of people? Because quite simply, what they consider to be the path to liberation, from my perspective, has absolutely nothing to do with liberation at all. I find so much of it to be sophomoric, juvenile, trivial, in regards to what they're spending their time on, where they're getting their information from, who they're they think that they're walking with. There's, you know, I'm having this feeling far too frequently that we have a population within our midst that believes that they're enlightened, that they're conscious, and I don't know who they're talking to. I don't know who their, you know, what their knowledge base is. I've kind of separated myself from them psychologically, and really wish I could physically just totally in any semblance of a relationship with them. Chris Rock said it best. You know, he said that there's a civil war going on within Black America between Black folks and niggas got to go. There's a part of me that really feels that, just as, you know, the advice that you were talking about receiving earlier, that there's some people who are just going to be stuck. I hate to believe that, but in my heart of hearts, I know that to be true. Because there's a population that is not only indifferent to intellect and to reasonable plans of racial uplift, of how we get out of this. They're hostile to it. And their hostility and their what I term their mental masturbation sessions are manifested in hundreds of ways. You know, you know, I've changed, you know, and I can feel this this evolution, you know, quickening to the point where I don't even want to have conversations with people. It's hard for me to even have conversations with people, because one has no idea where it's going to go, where it's going to end up at. And I yield with that, Queen. Are you still on, or have you gotten?
I'm sorry. I was muted. I have asked about the book by Shapiro and Oliver that deals with Black wealth as well. So what is it about Dr. Anderson's book that troubled you the most? And also, was there something that in Dr. Anderson's book that shined a glimmer of hope?
You know, it is the fact that Claude Anderson beautifully lays out what the problem is and how we solve that problem that causes such angst and disappointment in me, because it's not a secret. You know, it's like having the world's greatest NFL coach as our coach. And he lays out these plays that are going to work beautifully, and I'll be damned if we won't execute them. And that's the thing that really saddens me, because this is not rocket science that we're talking about. This is not difficult, you know, but I see, once again, a lot of just mental exercise and really avoidance of what the path is. And so that's really, you know, the ironic thing is that it is that my sadness comes from the very things that my sadness are caused by the glimmers of hope, the spotlight of this is the path forward. This is how we got here. This is how we address it, and this is what we should be doing in the future. And so it's like, damn, the plan is there. What more do we need as a collective group to execute it? You know, and as I said, I feel this rapid this quickening shift in who I am. What I'm willing to give anymore, because it's, you know, let's be honest about it. It all comes at a personal sacrifice, Mm-hmm. And I think that when you realize that you've sacrificed so much, it reminds me of something Tupac said about the movement and his mother and the Panthers as they had grown older. You know, he makes this point. He says they sacrificed it all. When they could have been out making money, when they could have been out improving their individual lives for not only themselves but also future generations, they gave that to the movement. And what has the movement given them? And when you add it up and you consider that, you know, you almost hate to say it this way, but those were wasted decades of your life. Because regardless of what you did, they didn't want to go with you. And I don't even know if we can term it that we're eternally attached to a population of individuals who are comfortable in their oppression. I think that we're dealing with people who absolutely have no understanding of what even the basics are of collectivism and group improvement. You know, and it's like when you, once again, Anderson's, you know, work has caused me to really reconsider the idea of how divided even the quote unquote conscious community is. You know, we can't even agree on the origins of Africans on the North American continent no more. We argue about that. And regardless of who's correct, neither correct answer would do a damn thing to liberate our people.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll get together tomorrow and we'll argue about it. We'll get, where the boat's at. When's the last thing you saw a Native American? You know, we argue about bullshit. And mm-hmm. and with every moment, it's a hiding. It's a intellectual bullshit session that keeps us from having to deal with the harsh reality of what our problem is and how do we get out from beneath this problem. And I yield with that.
Not sure. Yeah. And even listening, going back over the archives for Sign of the Times, and listening to some of the conversations that we've had and listening to the various guests that we have, even though it is taxing, it has been taxing. It even, you know, when I don't feel well, example tonight, I really didn't feel like physically, health-wise, doing the broadcast. But because I've committed myself to this, you know, I need to at least be able to show up. And so a lot of people just don't have that same type of commitment. And I don't know if it's because I was a Girl Scout, I was past the age of 18, you know, if I was raised in this protective type of environment that didn't expose me to the harsh realities that I would realize once I got to be 17 and attempted to make my first complaint with the EEOC because of how I was treated on my job. Or what? But I don't see that commitment, that real solid foundational type of commitment and a lot of things that people say that they're doing for the benefit of the people. One of the things that we have to accept when we go into this kind of work is that it is going to be hard. It's going to be everything that you and I have both described. And if it's not something that you're cut out for, it will take a detrimental toll, especially physically and economically. You know, you make a sacrifice, but everything really that we do, just living in this existence, is a sacrifice. Going to the store and spending money with the corporate petty bourgeoisie and sustaining the machine, you know, we're sacrificing then, buying trinkets and things like that for all of these holidays that mean absolutely nothing and is not progressing us anywhere. You know, it's no different. We're all guilty of it in some shape, form, or fashion. And there's a small cipher. The cipher is small. You know, the real core cipher is really small. But on the outside of that, you have other ciphers that if you know, you choose to, you know, engage them in the right way, can continue to be beneficial to push a little, you know, further along than where we were yesterday. So scientifically, looking at us from a historical perspective, I think we did a lot better when we had more of a matriarchal type of society. I know that we give a lot of our power away just by the conditioning that we've been conditioned under. But I also know that there's something that we can choose to do about it. And so, you know, if those that choose to look at it from the dirty glass perspective, you know, that's their view and that's all they see. And you said, you know, y'all can go. Okay, I love y'all. See y'all in a bit. Okay. Okay. All right. That's my baby girl. Today's my oldest daughter's birthday, too. She turned 32 today. So happy birthday, Brittany. I love you. But, yeah, so I mean, it's a struggle. You know, when people say the struggle ain't real and we shouldn't use the word struggle, you know, it's called a struggle for a reason. But our people that came before us have been through a lot worse. And they've seen a lot worse, and they didn't have access to all the things that we have access to. So it's up to us what we choose to do with it and how we choose to allow it to control us or we choose to control it. So historically, what can we learn, I guess, from Dr. Anderson's book and that will help us, at least for those that can see, some hope in our future? Is there something in there that we can pull out to share with the listeners even?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's the same things that have been said since and literally for the past 200 years. You know, we can go all the way back to the Black Convention movement. We can talk about, the Niagara movement. You know, Claude Anderson talks about all of these movements in his work. But when we look at it and we consider what can be learned, I mean, the it's the same message. It's the Garvey message. It's the message of collectivism. It's the message of Black independence, of Black self-sufficiency. You know, Anderson does just a beautiful job discussing the civil rights movement. And the fact that the civil rights movement is aimed at, as we all know, the idea of integration. And Anderson, you know, writes a great treatise where he's talking about we have a class of, and I know you call them the petty bourgeoisie, we have a class of Negroes who are found within the NAACP, they're found within the National Urban League core, you know, who believe that they can go get educations, they can go ahead and get employment with white corporations, and somehow miraculously, these Negroes believe that they're going to be able to move that and finesse that into an expression of Black power. You know, and the truth of the matter is that, you know, you're joining their organization, you're joining their movement. So who do you think are going to be the decision makers, you know, the movers and shakers within that corporation, within that business, within that social movement? It's not going to be you. You're a guest. You know, now they may add something to appease you, but be sure that whatever whatever appendage that they put on there is furthering their agenda at the same time. You know, they're never going, groups do not work against themselves. And mm-hmm. that seems to be a very difficult thing for our people to comprehend and understand. You know, we're the only ones who come out here and we're being nice. We're either being too nice or we're being cowardly by focusing our time upon what amounts to as children's rhymes. You know, nobody really cares, you know, and it has no power whatsoever for you to be able to talk about something that happened in Egypt. It has no bearing upon what it is that we're doing now. You know, but I know brothers who believe that they're descendants of Egyptian pharaohs. And if we could all just come under the tutelage and the teachings of Akhenaten, then we would be free. You've either gone insane or you have no understanding of what it is that we're dealing with in the new millennium. And so, you know, it's I don't know. I don't know. Like I said, I'm definitely, you know, it may sound as if I'm in a valley, but I believe that I'm actually on a peak, and I'm surveying the land, and I'm really, really beginning to question and ask myself, is the cost, the personal cost, for the little time I have on this planet Earth, is that cost too much? Especially when I'm dealing with the people who don't want to go forward under any circumstances or terms whatsoever. They will fight you if you try to move them.
You think that's true of all of us?
Emphatically, no. And this is probably, you know, as a child when you grew up, and you would see adults, and they would be siblings, they're brothers and sisters, and they don't even speak to each other. And as a child, you're kind of like, man, what in the world is this? I didn't even know that they were even related. Well, you didn't understand the process that they went through to get to that point. And I say that to say this, that I've seen some older brothers who are I imagine they were probably very progressive and revolutionary in their day. And when you talk to them, you can hear the brilliance. They're well read, they're well versed, what have you. But there's been a shift in them. And my uncle, I have one of my uncles who's a member of the Nation of Islam, he talks about it in this term. He said, so often, those of us who are revolutionaries and trying to move Black America forward, he said, we're like high-performance sports cars that are turned on and the engine is revving, but the car is in neutral, if not park. He said, eventually you're going to either blow the engine or you're going to run out of gas. And I see a lot of the older brothers who are in an advisory role and very like wise sages. And I feel myself kind of getting there. That I'm at sort of a transition point in regards to abandoning what I could best term the silliness and foolishness of the so-called conscious community. I believe I've been firmly convinced that 80% of us don't want to go anywhere, and I try to focus upon doing something for that remaining 20%, where there's even a chance of us doing something, but I, you know, and I say all that to say, no, I don't believe that it's all of us, but I do believe that it's the vast majority of us.
I had a conversation with a brother who was unaware of some of the history of Kwanzaa and Brother Karinga, and my response to him was that we don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. Even if the allegations, just to use him as an example, even if the allegations are true, there are certain principles about us having things work collectively that are beneficial to us. So we don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. In Blueprint for Black Power, Dr. Amos Wilson speaks about solutions. Neely Fuller, the nine areas of people activity. So with the convention that's coming up, I'm sorry I don't remember the original name. That was, I think it was done, and Kwasi mentioned it last week, Dr. Jones, when he was on. The convention, the National Negro Convention Movement, no, that was from 1831 to 1864. The convention where Queen Mother Moore was at, I think it was held originally either in Chicago or Detroit. You know what I'm speaking of?
The early 70s. I want to say that they met in Gary, Indiana.
Okay.
It's the close of Black Power. I want to say that they called it the Black Convention Movement or something like that. Yeah, but I'm familiar with what you're alluding to.
Okay. Is that something that would be effective in our current day, to have that type of convention reconvening, if you will, and not necessarily for the big heads to convene and tell us what to do, because we were clear on a lot of their messages, right? But for us as the people, is a convention like that for, and do you think it would be effective?
Well, you know, I'll say it this way, that oftentimes when we're talking about those types of movements, you're preaching to the choir. The only people who are going to show up, engage, and really understand it are those who are already convinced. You know, those who really need to hear it are not going to be present, number one. But also, I really think that, and I think that this partially explains why I keep calling it the so-called conscious community, is filled with uninformed individuals. It is because we want a one-stop, go in, hear a speech, watch a video, and I'm ready to lead the nation. Okay. That's not how a revolutionary is made.
Mm-hmm.
Black revolutionaries in particular are not made that way. You know, there's so many hours. And, you heard me say earlier when I started that, you know, I'm going back reading some of my favorite books of all time. And I can speak with authority, about my students. Young Black America does not read. They want it quick, instantaneously, and in a video. You know, tell me everything I need to know about the Black movement within 90 seconds. And you better make it sensational. You better make it intriguing, interesting. Because if you don't, I'm tuning you out. So, you know, that type of convention movement would be great for spirit, but we have to develop, and Claude Anderson talks about this, Amos Wilson talks about this, we got to develop a means to sort of bring our people in together to understand that, listen, this is what our thinkers have decided, and this is the direction that we're going. You got to go forward with this. And the most shocking thing about the Black experience in America, and I don't care if you're talking about slavery, I don't care if you're talking about Reconstruction, the Nadir, Great Migration, either of the Great Migrations, probably the most startling thing is that oppression has not caused Black solidarity. Not on a level where it is long-term sustainable. Now, we will rally around an issue, be it voting, be it police brutality, what have you. But long-term, long term, but this is who we are. This is what we do. We apparently don't have the ability to do that, or we haven't done it yet. I mean, you compare our fleeting, lackadaisical commitment to the uplift of Black America to that of the Jews and their commitment in regards to Israel. There's never a moment where they're not in attack mode about Israel. Whereas Black America will even go into a conciliatory and apologetic mode in regards to advancing a Black agenda. It's what Obama did, okay? It's what every Black leader does. Outside of Minister Farrakhan on a national level, I can't think of a single Black leader that has the nerve to stand up and plead the Black case without including some other group. It's the reason why the civil rights movement went from being something aimed at redressing the historical injury that was done to Black folk to one that is including everybody, even white women, as if their oppression in any way resembles ours. So, you know, I don't know. I yield with that, Queen.
Nashe. Yeah, I think we speak that truth here on Sign of the Times. Dr. Jones, excuse me. I think we speak that truth. We speak that same truth because I've been approached by others who want to be a part of, you know, what we are about here and with the UAC especially. And it's just not that kind of party. And I agree that we do dilute our cause and our case when we take on other folks in our mission and our objectives. And we have been guilty of that. I've seen it happen prior to Occupy. I saw it happen during Occupy, which is the reason why Occupy the Hood was developed. And then I saw Occupy the Hood be sabotaged from within by a person who wasn't Black in the first place. He's actually an Arab, you know, came over like that, but could pass, you know. And so it's a detrimental thing when we give our power away, and especially when it's to people that we thought we could trust. And, you know, I've been through it. I've been disappointed, let down, but it didn't stop what I knew that the Most High Creator developed me to be, and that was to be on this mission, whether it be through Sign of the Times or Occupy the Hood or whatever. We've got work to do, and we're going to get it done one way or another, and we're going to keep our inner cipher small for that very reason, because we know that everybody's not willing to do what it takes in order to get this thing done and to accomplish this mission. I'm going to go ahead and open up. I believe this is Brother Ted. Welcome, Brother Ted. How are you doing this evening?
Greetings, peace and blessings. I'm doing well.
Ashe.
How are you? Good, beautiful Black people doing?
We hanging in here.
Man, I'm discouraged.
I understand that completely. So I came in about 5 or 6 minutes ago. So what do you think is the answer to fixing this? I mean, to begin fixing it.
You know, I think that at this point, our only answer to addressing this is that we need to start at the very basic bottom level of the family structure. We need to go ahead and start a serious program because I know Black folk are not going to leave the K-12 public educational system. We need to start a weekend, a Saturday and Sunday school program, first dealing with the adults, dealing with the parents of how you raise Black children to have good self-esteem, to understand that education and intelligence are the most Blackest things that you could do if you're looking at it from a historical standpoint. I think that we begin there. begin with the children, but as you know, as we all know as adults, that these flawed children eventually turn into broken and flawed men and women. And so the cycle continues, and one could even argue that the cycle is even worsening. So I think that we start with the family. And I think that we instill those old-time traditional values of education, of respect, of morality, of decency, of courage, that Malcolm said it best when he said, you know, who's the white man to compare, who's he to be compared to? You know, your skin look like gold compared to that old pale thing. You find that old pale thing out on the beach trying to get to look like you. You know, that's got to be the mentality that we pour into our children. We have to really, really begin to consider the idea that we're allowing people who have traditionally, historically, and at historic rates and level hated us to have access to our most cherished resource, the minds of our children. You know, it's not rocket science, it's science to figure out that if you allow someone who hates you to be the primary instructor of your child, your kid is going to grow up looking at you like, look at this rascal right here. They got it honestly. They got it from their teachers. And I yield with that, brother.
I say. You know, and it's so difficult to get people to even begin to grasp this concept. And I'm one of those brothers that you know, can't get my 21-year-old son to grasp it, you know, because he's influenced by his mother, who's a chemical engineer that's making almost $300,000. You know what I'm saying? I mean, so it's hard to battle with that, even though you show all the proof and all the evidence, and then it's then it's broken down by vain stuff, you know. I mean, well, I sit here and listen to these young brothers talk about it. It'll be okay to play a gay guy on television and to kiss another man because it's theater and it's a job and no, we don't have to do any of those things. None of those things, and we have to start building from within, you know, because with every child that's born. If there's not somebody in that child's ear from the moment, probably the moment of conception, and that's it's just not happening that way, and we end up with a lot of very talented and misguided youths running around, and just simply doing that, running around, going to school for years, and not to work for somebody else, and to not create an economy, or you know, so, I mean, nothing like that. I mean. There's a coffee shop here in Cleveland that a black-owned coffee shop that I go to, and I love it during the summertime because the kids come in for smoothies, and your kids are drinking coffee-flavored drinks now, and you know, and I always put it on the table. You know, saying here's $50 for anybody that can tell me anything, the year, what happened, anything about Black Wall Street. And none of these kids can ever answer that question. You know, or the importance of how special you are, because they've never been told that. And all they're concerned about is rap music and sports and video games. And with that, I yield. Yeah, it's hurtful.
Yeah, our children have come up in what I call the microwave society. It's, you know, immediate response and gratification. And to work hard for something is not the norm anymore. And we've been convenienced to where it's become an inconvenience. And we've become quite lazy about our approach to problem solving and communicating with one another. It's easier to send a text or to, you know, post something on social media than it is to call up your brother and your sister. And I say that to say that our children are emulating what they see the most. So if we put better examples in front of them, they're wise enough and want that instant gratification enough to at least, I believe, try it out. So, you know, we allowed the ball to be dropped, whether we actually dropped it or not. You know, the ball got dropped. The ball got dropped. And now we have to pick it up. And we also recognize that something or someone had an influence on us. So we, therefore, have to have that influence on others that are, especially those that are closest to us. And it's not always easy, Brother Ted. I feel you, because my children, even though they have been here the whole time, still had some trouble accepting, you know, the work that I do, and the fact that, you know, I chose this. I could go work for corporate Cincinnati. I have worked for corporate Cincinnati, but I was miserable. Absolutely miserable. And to me, I would rather struggle in this way than struggle in that way, because that kind of thing can get into your head and everything else to where you really feel like, you know, what good is my life? I'm just living my life to serve other people's purpose. I've been there. So that's why I'm so committed to seeing the things that we're doing be successful. And so we just have to, you know, for those of us who are willing to make that type of sacrifice, you know, we're making it, and we're striving towards the betterment every day. Dr. Jones, you know, he's teaching, engaging on young people, you know, and trying to still uplift them despite, you know, what he sees exemplified. You have your experiences in Cleveland, and I'm sure you see the similar things that I see being here in Cincinnati. You know, but we can't give up on our young people because they're waiting on the right type of message and they're going to receive it. Those that even I when I started the youth group back in 96, you know, their parents themselves, and I see a big difference in them than I see in even some of their peers based on the influence that I know that I had in their lives. You know, they've even told me. You know, I was outside one day raking leaves when I was still on McMicken before the house was foreclosed on, and I was in the yard working, and a girl walked by and she said, "You used to comb my hair when I was little," you know, and it just meant so much to me that she remembered me, you know, and she remembered that was our connection and our bond, and now she's a parent, and the beautiful little chocolate baby was in the stroller, you know, and so it's those kinds of things that are, you know, are priceless. Like how much is that worth? You know, how much salary would equate something like that? And that's just one circumstance. So it is worth it. I can say, and that my children now, you know, are older. My oldest, like I said, she today is her birthday. She turned 32. So you know, they've gotten to a better understanding of why, you know, it was important that we serve the community the way that we did, and they saw me make the sacrifices that I made. So, but our young people, they worth it. They're just waiting, I think, to hear the right type of message, and I yield.
Yes, I agree with that wholeheartedly. But how do we get this message to them? I mean, what platforms can we use? I mean, because we don't have anything that well, we've produced that we can say, well, hey, come here. You know, here is a community center for us, by us. And here's some music for us, by us. And here's some poetry for us, by us. And here's some programming to deprogram the program that's already been set up. I mean, where is our inside person? Where is our spook that sat by the door? And a lot of times I'll say those things, and I can look in the mirror and say, well, yeah, you that spook that sat by the door. You're supposed to get the information, and I do. But there's a huge gap between the brothers my age and these young brothers. So they don't think I know anything. You know what I'm saying? All they see is this old man that was wearing red, black, and green, and a kufi occasionally, and occasionally he'll break bread with us, or even, you know, saying, yeah, but other than that, but then it's back to the regular scheduled program. You know, and if these young sisters really knew their power, they could change the world, I believe, in a couple months.
Mm-hmm.
Because that energy is the universe's only true currency. And if our sisters knew who they were and our brothers were willing to listen to them, you know what I mean? Like, so the best advice I've ever gotten in my life, you know, I have both of my parents, you know what I mean? And I love them, but the messaging I received from my mother was divine in the source, because that was my source. We connected on the level that people don't even want to talk about it. That's why it's so strong. I mean, you can't deny it. Yeah. The home structure is just not conducive for our young children to succeed. Because we depend on somebody else's food source. The water is contaminated, the air is contaminated, and our children are in the midst of this stuff. And they talk about these mental health issues. You know what I mean? Anybody in this environment will be absolutely crazy. White kids too. Black children, I think, a little bit more. But yeah, this demon don't care about nobody. Not even itself.
To me, I hear a challenge there. You know, what tools are being used to our detriment that we can start to use for our benefit?
You know, the thing is that when you look at this thing that we know, and we could almost argue that next to the Industrial Revolution, the advent of the internet and social media technology is an unprecedented tool. I mean, you can literally contact anyone that's living on the face of the planet Earth with a computer and a Facebook account. You know, that's new in our technology. That's new in our world. But it's a double-edged sword. You know, and I tell my students this all the time, that if I forget, if I'm writing something and I forget, let's say the assassination date of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., I can type in to my computer, my old 20-year computer that I still use, what day was Martin Luther King killed, and it'll come up instantaneously. And at the exact same time that my computer holds the power to do that, it also holds the power for me to type in Migos, Bad and Bougie, you know, and so it creates, you know, the internet and technology is kind of like money, you know, it doesn't make a person, you know, and it's in many ways neutral, but what it does is it provides options and opportunities, and in every way it highlights who you are. Now, you can utilize the internet and all of the information that's on it to become an expert on Black Revolution, on Huey P. Newton, on Malcolm, on Kwame Ture. Or you can spend your entire time looking at porno videos. The choice is yours. And so it's one of the reasons why I'm just such a stickler for the home. The home, going ahead and really molding the worldview of young Black America to understanding what is the proper weight that should be put on money, you know, and also having discussions such as, and I propose this to my students. I asked them, how many of you would be willing to do a commercial for the Ku Klux Klan? And, you know, they all say, oh, no, I wouldn't do that. I said, you know, what you have to do, you have a hood on, and then you snatch the hood off, and you take a bite of Kentucky Fried Chicken and a bite of watermelon, and you look in the camera and say, good. And they all say, no, I wouldn't do that. And then I say, okay, for $2 million, would you do it? A few hands rise. By the time I get to about 20, 30 million, every hand is up. And I jokingly tell them, I said, so let's be honest of what that means. That means that your soul is for sale. that you're prostitutes. And so those are the conversations. That's the guidance of what the world is about that we need to be instilling in our kids. You know, I believe it was Garvey who said, just think about how different the educational process would be for black children if from the moment that they engaged it, they were told that they were going to be entrepreneurs, that you were learning math to be able to handle the books of your business. It would be revolutionary. But instead of coming in with that idea, we know that we send them there not to even get a career, but to get a job. And I yield with that.
Ashe, if you're listening on your computer, you can dial in at 917-889-8059. If you're listening on your phone, please push 1 and I will open up your mic and bring you in the queue. If you have a question or a comment, or, you know, let us know how you what your perception is of the African community. What can we do better? What should we be doing better? And why are we not making as use of the things that we have accessible to us? You know, again, we can look at the, I'll use another glass example. Is the glass half empty or is the glass half full? You know, I use the hell out of social media. I use the heck out of the internet and now WordPress and to create, you know, documents and opportunities to engage people. But unfortunately, the response often is small, even though, you know, a lot of times you can look and see how many people have actually seen some of the things that you post, especially if it could be perceived to be controversial in any sort of way. You can look to see how many people have seen it, but how many people actually take the time to comment. But I also noticed once I started commenting more on, you know, what I posted, not just making, you know, just the post and just kind of leaving it, the more people do engage. And you can actually pull people into engagement. If you can see who has seen it, you can specifically ask them, you know, what did you think about it? What was your thoughts on it? Did you see it the same way I did? That kind of thing. So again, you know, we have to be creative and make use of our time and space together and do better all the way around. I think, like I said, our young people are waiting to hear the right type of message. And that's our role. The older we get, we're supposed to be able to pass on what we know to the youth. That's our role. So we are a little bit past the top of the hour. I said we were going to be here for about an hour tonight. So we'll probably close out here in time for Dr. Jones. I know you have another broadcast to do. So we're going to go for about another 20 minutes once we come back. But thank you for listening, everybody. This is Queen Tahira tonight. My co-host, Dr. James Jones, and I we're engaging you about, you know, the status of the black community and what are we going to do, what can we do, and what should we be doing. And if any of you have any insight on Dr. Anderson's book, again, please push 1. If you're listening on your phone, on your computer, dial in 917-889-8059. We'll be right back.
I reminisce. I reminisce for a spell, or shall I say think back, yeah. 22 years ago to keep it on track, uh-huh. The birth of a child on the 8th of October, like a toast, that. But my granddaddy came sober, really count bad. All the fingers and the toes, now I suppose your host, the little black boy grows,
yeah.
18
yeah.
years younger than my mama, but I really got beaten to the girl of trauma,
yeah.
In single parenthood, there I stood, by the time she was 21, had another one,
yeah.
This one's
yeah.
a girl,
what?
Let's name her Pam, same father as the first, but you don't give a damn,
right.
Irresponsible, plain not thinking,
yeah.
Papa said chill, but the brother keep winking,
uh-huh.
Till he rolled down, you would tear out your hide,
uh-huh.
On your side while the baby make a slide, but mama got wise to the game,
uh-huh.
The youngest of 5 kids, hun, here it is,
yeah.
After
yeah.
10 years without no spouse,
yeah.
Mama's getting married in the house,
word.
Listen, positive over negative, for the woman a master,
uh-huh.
Mother queen's rising the chapter,
yeah.
Deja vu, tell you what I'm gonna do, when they reminisce over you, my God. When I
date back, I recall a man off the family tree. My right hand, proper jock, I see.
Woo.
Took me from a boy to a man, so I always had a father. When my biological didn't bother,
yeah,
taking care of this, so who am I to bicker? Not a bad ticker, but I'm clocking pop's liver.
Yeah.
But you can never say that as life is through. Five kids at 21, believe he got a right to.
Right.
Here we go while I check the scene with the Portuguese lover at the age of 14. The same age, front page, no fuss, but I bet you all you know they live longer than us.
That's right.
Never been seen now, that's where you're wrong.
Uh-huh.
But give the man a taste and he's gone. Not no sleep to a jazz tune. I can hear his head banging on the wall in the next room. I get the pillow and hope I don't wake him.
Yeah.
For this man the cuss, hear it all in verbatim.
Uh-huh.
Telling me how to raise my boy unless he's taking over. I said, pop, maybe when you're older.
Oh,
we laughed all night about the hookers at the party.
Uh-huh.
My old man standing yelling, good God Almighty.
Uh-huh.
Use your condom, take sips of the brew.
That's right.
When they reminisce over you, for real.
For real, baby. Like that. We for real. Yeah. Come on.
I reminisce so you never forget this. The days are way back, so many bear witness the fitness.
Yeah.
Take the first letter out of each word in this joint. Listen close as I prove my point.
Point.
T to the ROY, how did you and I meet in front of Big Lou fighting in the street? But only you saw what took many time to see. I dedicate this to you for believing in me. Rain or shine, yes, in any weather.
Yeah.
My grandma Pam holds the family together. My Uncle Doc's the greatest, better get the latest. If we're talking about a car, Uncle Sterling got the latest.
Yeah.
I strive to be live because I got no choice and run my own business like my Aunt Joyce.
Yeah.
So Pete Rock hit me, enough respect to when they reminisce over you. Listen.
Listen. He was my brother. Trouble T-Roy. Like that, y'all. And it don't stop. Rock a Swift School for 92. And we out.
Hello. I'm Dr. James Thomas Jones III, and I've just recently completed a manuscript titled Creating Revolution as They Advance, a Historical Narrative of the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. This work traces the demise of the nonviolent civil disobedience of the Civil Rights Movement and the rise of both the Black Power era and Black Panther Party. Special attention is paid to Panther leaders such as Huey P. Newton, Bobby Seale, Fred Hampton, Eldridge Cleaver, Bunchy Carter, and Geronimo Pratt. This story is told through the view of the Panthers and details the horrific, underhanded attacks that the organization experienced at the hands of the FBI's counterintelligence program under the orders of J. Edgar Hoover. If you're looking for the true story of the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, pick up a copy of Creating Revolution as They Advance, a Historical Narrative of the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense on Amazon.com. Thank you.
Welcome back to Sign of the Times, everyone. This is Queen Ty here, Wednesday nights with Dr. James Jones of Manhood, Race, and Culture. Welcome back, Dr. Jones and Brother Ted.
Let me thank you for playing Pete Rock and CL Smooth. As CL Smooth is one of my greatest of all time.
I say. And I think it would be a good way to wrap up tonight's dialogue, too, Dr. Jones. All things considered, that's been put on the table tonight. When people reminisce over you, and I'd like to ask Brother Ted this question as well. What do you want them to remember the most about you?
You know that I was a nice person who cared enough to care about them. You know, and I'm sure I've said this before to you, but probably my favorite line of any book I've ever read is comes out of Alice Walker's The Color Purple, when she had Shug Avery walking across the field with Whoopi's character, whose name eludes me right now. And Shug says, you know, I bet it pisses God off when we're too busy, when we're so busy that we can walk across a field and not notice the color purple. You know, I try to live my life at a pace where I'm never too busy to honor our people, regardless of who they are, from no degree to PhD. And I've truly enjoyed this world that the Lord has made. You know, I hope they remember me as a caring person who is committed to the uplift of Black folk. And I yield with that.
Ashe. Ashe, brother.
I would love for people to remember me as being a person that was always willing to help. You know, so I mean, we're always willing to go the extra mile, to put a smile on somebody's face, and to tell the truth, regardless of how unfavorable it was and how people thought about me. You know, I wasn't afraid to walk alone. You know what I'm saying? I mean, and that I love my people. I love people tremendously. You know, I don't hate anybody. But I know it's time for the Black woman to be back on her throne, so she can get her kids in order. And I will promote that every chance that I get. And it's something that I'm prepared to die for. With that, I yield.
Ashe.
And sister, and please share with us your answer.
When people reminisce over me, I want them to remember that I did my best. You know, I gave it everything that I had, no matter what, like, no matter what circumstances were surrounding us, no matter how much money I had in my pocket, no matter degreed or not degreed, certified or not certified. You know, I lived my life and I gave my best to everything that I have and that I have put forth. It might not even have always turned out right, but my intentions were true. So that's what I want people to remember and discover me about, you know, when they think about, you know, whether they call me Nessa, because, you know, we go through phases in our life where, you know, I was Nessa Quick to my favorite auntie, you know, and Vanessa in school, and, you know, Ebony when I started to discover who I was in my Blackness, and now, you know, I'm Queen Tahira, you know, and so, you know, but no matter what, that smile, I posted a picture of me at the age of 4 on my Facebook page last week, and it was good to see that picture and still be able to see that same smile in me now that I had when I was 4, you know, that I didn't give up. No matter what life circumstances presented themselves, I refused to quit. So we're going to go ahead and open up 2169. Welcome to Sign of the Times. Who are we speaking with?
You are speaking to Brother Sebek, and I was just listening to the show, and it seems really serious, and I just wanted to say, wow. I feel when y'all was talking, particularly to brothers, and particularly to you, sister. You know, I felt like a energy, an awakening. You know, I felt Black people, African people, as I say, being honest. And it was a good note to come in on, because I had an amazing experience yesterday. And I live in L.A., so I was out in a place called San Dimas, and we celebrated Umoja. And we was there when Ra came in the morning time at 5 a.m. I saw the sun come over the moon, over the hills, and we was playing drums, and Black African people were loving and dancing and calling forth their ancestors, and it was just an incredible moment. And I just heard this moment with y'all, and I was like, wow, I don't know what the show is about, so my apologies, but just the idea of coming in on a positive note with Black people loving Black people, man, I had to interrupt. So I just wanted to say that. Now yield.
Brother, there was no interruption at all, brother. We needed that.
Ashe. Yeah, and, you know, we got plenty of room on the couch, Brother Sobek, so never an interruption. And we appreciate your energy, and I'm glad to hear that the event went well and, you know, the energy was positive there as well.
Thank you, Queen. Thank you. Asante sana. Thank you very much. And yes, brother.
Ashe.
Ashe. Ashe.
All right,
and,
so we got to
go. Kwanzaa,
okay, go ahead.
Which principle is being celebrated today?
Kuja Kanjalia, which is the principle of self determination.
Okay.
Kuga Jagaliga. I may be killing it, but I'm sure someone in the audience or even on the couch will correct me. You know, but today that's what we celebrate. And I like to take it, if I can speak on that, I like to take it as far as self-determination, not only for us to help our people, but for us to help ourselves, to help our people, to determine how we're going to live our life in a positive direction. I'm not saying passive. I'm talking about proactive. And that's what, and to me, that's how it's affected me today, because the more I love myself and better myself and educate myself, the more I can be able to help my people. You know what I'm saying? So I think, you know, we're the verge right now, 2018 of the year for African people to move, those who want to, in unity and self-determination and faith and purpose. All the things that Kwanzaa stands for.
Ashe.
Ashe, Queen, Ashe. And I yield the floor.
Ashe. Well, thank you for sharing that. And tomorrow is Ujima, collective work. So that's what we're practicing. You know, we didn't throw out the baby with the bathwater, y'all. And these
true principles,
there's nothing that limits us from practicing these principles, you know, 365. And that's where the challenge lies. It feels really good to do it during this time of the year. Let's try to make sure that that feeling continues to resonate throughout the remainder of this year and, you know, throughout till next Kwanzaa. And may it increase even more and more and more so that we can come together and practice these beliefs on a day-to-day basis. So with that being said, Dr. Jones, you want to give out the number to the broadcast with Brother Maurice?
Yes, I can do that. I can do that. I tried to go back to it, but then I realized I was muted. So let me see if I can navigate my way to it. It's 563-999-3682.
And the name of the broadcast?
Who Did It to You?
Okay, Ashe. So if y'all want to continue building, please join Dr. Jones, Brother Maurice Muhammad over Who Did It to You. Again, the number is 563-999-3682. Send Brother Maurice my love. Tell him I said happy Kwanzaa. And thank you, as always, Dr. Jones, for your commitment to Sign of the Times. We appreciate you.
I appreciate you as well, Queen. And we starting over there at, what is the time? Your way, 8 o'clock?
Yes, 8 p.m. Central.
Yeah.
I mean, 8 p.m.
Yeah.
Eastern. I'm sorry.
8 p.m. Eastern. Yeah, I'm Central, I believe, so. Yeah, 8 o'clock,
yeah.
We'll be there.
All right, y'all. All right, everybody, we'll see you tomorrow night live here at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Sign of the Times. Again, the number to Who Did It to You is 563-999-3682. We'll see everybody tomorrow night, everybody. We love you. We thank you. And most of all, we respect you. Salute.
I love you as well. Peace.
Calling the police. You know all of that got to go. Now everybody knows there's exceptions to this rule. I don't be getting mad when we playing, it's cool. But don't you be calling me out my name. I bring crap to those who disrespect me like a dame. That's why I'm talking. One day I was walking down a block. I had my cutoff shorts on right because it was crazy hot. I walked past these dudes when they passed me. One of them felt my booty, he was nasty. I turned around red, somebody was catching a rat. Then the little one said,
yeah, me, bitch.
And laughed. Since he was with his boys, he tried to break fly. I punched him dead in his eyes. Said,
who you calling me, bitch?
You and I, G-Y. And take it out on me, but that's about enough. You put your hands on me again, I'll put your ass in handcuffs. I guess I felt so deep in love, I grew dependency. I was too blind to see just how it was affecting me. All that I knew is you was all the man I had. And I was scared to let you go, even though you treated me bad. But I don't wanna see my kids see me getting beat down by daddy smacking mommy all around. You say I'm nothing without you, but I'm nothing with you. A man don't really love you if he hits you. This is my notice of the rule, I'm not taking it no more. I'm not your personal whore. That's not what I'm here for. Ain't nothing good gon' come to you till you do right by me. Brother, you ain't
who you calling me, bitch?
You and I see why. Young lady.